Mushrooms are a big deal here in British Columbia, and fungi friends Basil and Kat showed up dressed to impress. Basil's sweater is crocheted with mushrooms, and Kat is wearing ceramic earrings shaped like the classic red and white polka-dotted fly agaric.
Basil actually made these earrings, but...
And
yeah.
Catherine did not make this, but my other friend made this, like, embroidered shirt, which was very lovely of her. Mushrooms are just a really lovely thing in BC that we have a wide diversity of, and it's a great hobby to get into, just learning how to identify, learning to, like, appreciate your environment and the different, like, faces of the mushroom that you can find in wet versus dry seasons. Yeah.
What's the mushroom festival that you were just at?
Oh, on October 12th, I was at the Van Dusen Gardens Mycological Society Mushroom Festival. It happens every year. Great place, great people. Definitely recommend it if you're into mushrooms.
I couldn't go to that, but I can come to this. I'm mostly just friends with other mushroom people. And now, being friends with them, I go for walks, and now I just see mushrooms everywhere. So, yeah, it's huge. Because we have a lot of good mushrooms that grow here, yes?
Oh, 100%. I would say... It's like a community that you might not see on the surface right away, but
like
much like a mushroom, underneath the ground, the network really extends much farther than you would expect. I would say much farther than you expect.
I hate that. Yeah.
From the Mushroom Kingdom in Burnaby, British Columbia, this is Jesse Wensloff for CJSF 90.1 FM reporting. This piece is made possible by funding from the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can find this story and more at frequencynews.ca.
That you know me, you're all losing. So just admit that you don't need me.
Same way.
that you know me. You're all loose ends. Just admit that you don't need me.
Loose Ends by Self Care from their new record Doggy here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. And now the long awaited, long teased interview with CJSF co-founder Brian Antonsen.
I'm Brian Antonsen. I'm one of the three co-founders of what was called CKSF back in the days. Today is called CJSF. 1966, the fall of 1966, we cobbled together a group of people who wanted to make this happen. We then got $300 from the Student Association or whatever it was called at the time, and we bought some equipment. And technically, around the beginning of November, we went on the air with a speaker feed into the rotunda. All the peace and quiet that people had come to enjoy in the rotunda disappeared because we were making noise. But we were making radio, and it was very, very cool to be there.
What drove you to start the radio station?
I wanted to be in radio from the time I was 14. And my father brought home from work a thing. He said one of the guys had given it to him, an amplifier, a turntable, and a microphone. And why don't you hook this up? This is what the guys on the radio work with, small audio console. And I said, yeah, I could do that. Well, I plugged it all together, and it worked. And, of course, I'd listened to the Red Robinsons and the Frosty Forests and Dave McCormick's and all my early heroes. And I wanted to do what they did. And so I sat down and I played with this one turntable and seven records and went back and forth and thought, this is what I want to do for my career. So my concept of brain surgery went out the door and in I came with this concept, much to my parents' disappointment, of going into radio. And then along came Simon Fraser. I was still in high school and a friend of mine was in the first class. And I said, is there a radio station there? I knew about UBC's RadSock operation, and I was going to try to start a station at SFU if there was no other station. And if there was, I was going to join it. There wasn't. And so when I got here, I thought, I'm going to start the campus radio station. And I ran into two guys from high school, John Bishop and Rob Turner, up on the AQ steps on a September afternoon. And how you doing, man? I haven't seen you since high school. How are things and whatnot? Talking back and forth. And this is more than a soundbite, I realize, but it's the story. And so we're talking, and they said, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, taking this and this and this. But what I really want to do is I want to start the campus radio station. That is a cool idea. So all of a sudden we're talking about this. And finally Rob Turner said to John and me, he said, so are we going to talk about it or are we going to do it? And I said, we're going to do it. So I found out how to get a room, how to rent a, not rent, but book a room. I got some posters made, printed up, put them all over the place, said, if you're interested in a campus radio station, come to a founding meeting. We had about 50 people.
Wow.
Show up. A bunch of people came, some of whom had some background in radio, others who did not. Do we want to do this? Hell yes. So we got another meeting room. We elected a president. I got myself, I want to be the program director. And so we started to then go after money, $300, like I said, from the Student Association. What's it called? The Student?
Simon Fraser Student Society. Now.
Student Society. Okay, it was probably the same thing back in the day. So we got $300 from them. We found somebody who had an audio console, a speaker, one speaker, two turntables. The amplifier did not work. Two microphones, I think, involved in that. All this gear used to belong to Jack Cullen, who was a famous CKNW host for years, and later I became Jack's operator, so worked very closely with him for years at CKNW. Anyway, we got the thing together. They gave us a janitor's closet on the other side of the campus, which was about as big as this room, and they said, there's your radio station. Have fun, guys. And so away we went. So it was my desire to get into radio And my desire to be the guy who started the station at SFU that got me kind of into that position.
And what did that experience, community radio, campus radio, what did that teach you or give you?
We were a bunch of wannabe disc jockeys. And along came a guy. We were cobbling stuff from the province newspaper and the Peak and stuff like that, and kind of doing newscasts. And a guy came in, his name was Patrick Reed, and he said, "Yes, I'm wondering if I can help you boys." He was our age and so on. Huge, wonderful, beautiful voice. And his father ran the radio station in Quesnel. So all of a sudden, Patrick Reed became the news director of CKSF, as it was. And boy, did he deliver a hell of a newscast and so on. So then people came in and said, "I've got an idea for an interview. Here, we have a cassette recorder that somebody donated. Take this out, interview them, and bring it back." SFU in those days was a hotbed of student agitation, revolting, and so on. And we had a number of faculty members, but more than that, student members, who were causing a great deal of concern amongst the adults of the day. Because we were revolting. Hell no, we won't go. This is not good. Vietnam War, which didn't really affect Canadians, but it did affect people who were Americans who were here as students and so on. And so I remember being out there with the cassette machine that we had and holding a microphone out and taping the inflammatory material that these people were saying, and then getting back to the radio station and broadcasting that. And so my own awareness grew from being a wannabe disc jockey to being somebody who understood the effect that radio had. Now, how many listeners did we have? Whoever was sitting in the rotunda at the time. But maybe they weren't paying attention to what was going on campus. So we started to provide contemporary music, if you will. But then we moved into providing news and then information. And I got a really solid grounding in that, particularly in the second term, as to how this mattered. And that shaped my radio career going forward. I then applied to go to BCIT and entered in the September of 67. Came up here about once a month. I would drop up to see the guys who, you know, were still here. New people coming in and so on. But I began to realize how very, very important radio and community radio was. Radio as it is, and I'm from the era of Jack Webster and all the famous talk show people, Pat Burns, things like that. So I knew about radio in a commercial sense and how well it worked. But I'm also from the time when CFRO in Vancouver, community radio, started. And they made radio accessible to people. You didn't have to be a Jack Webster. You didn't have to have a degree. You didn't have to have any other qualifications. You had a desire to be on the radio to share your kind of music, and it was different music all day long. You had the desire to communicate and present concerns, you know, the various different communities, the various different nationalities and so on. And so I got the bug on how effective that was and so on. So that formed my own views. I've always been an information junkie. For 2 years off with Good Behavior, when I was running things at BCIT, I took a two-year leave and went back to manage a radio station up the valley where I live in Abbotsford. And I really focused on building up and it was a good information station already, but I focused on building up even more information for listeners in amplifying newscasts, moving to every half-hour news. News doesn't just happen and then get reported at the top of the hour. So we had headlines at the half-hour. We had more talk-type things introduced and so on. So I made it much more a community station, even though it was a commercial station. So there's I have a real focus on what university stations do For a while, I was a member of the National Campus Association for Community Radio and campus stations across Canada, and very supportive of all of that stuff. So I've spent a career encouraging people to not just focus on your music, on what your favorite tunes are. You got to play tunes for everybody. It's not just your faves, but also on the information side of things.
And why do you think that radio is still relevant and important today?
Radio is everywhere. We talk a lot about podcasting. Just as I was leaving BCIT, so leaving the active day role, we were starting to teach about podcasting. And it's, you know, people have recorded their favorite television show because they're not going to be home, and they've recorded it tonight, and tomorrow when they're free, they'll watch it. Podcasting, video casting, I mean, they're very much the same kind of thing. I can't do this today, but tomorrow on the way home, I'll catch this half-hour interview or whatever it might be. So that's the way radio is evolving. And so it's much more than just the turn it on and listen to it. There's all sorts of information. There's news information, of course, but there's traffic information. Many stations have traffic and so on. And there's entertainment. There's a lot of joking around and so on that people do these days. So and always did do. So I think it's important that radio provides that communication. Radio is huge in other parts of the world. It's never, ever, you know, the radio is dead concept. I've never been a believer in that because the facts prove that it's not true. In Britain, radio is absolutely huge. And in some cases, it's much bigger than television, which is all over the place. But people love what the BBC does, what private radio offers, what pirate radio at one time, decades ago, offered. I've known some people who... I met the guy who started Radio Caroline, which was the first pirate radio station, 12 miles on a minesweeper, 12 miles offshore. So they were just outside the limit. And he came looking for a job. And interesting guy. And he's bored and he's a millionaire. And I just wondered if he might have any guest lectures. And, you know, and I said, oh, well, what's your background? Well, I've done a lot of things. Do you ever hear of Radio Caroline? Well, yes, of course. He said, yeah, I started that. And it's like casual, like, I started that. Okay! You know, so...
Can you start?
Yeah. Now, I didn't have anything that I could give to him, but it's been my privilege to meet a number of that kind of person who have... people have done some really out there radio, who've... done really neat things. In my own personal experience, as a production director at CKNW before being offered the position at BCIT, that was really cool to, you know, have that come along. And I then along came this opportunity to work in the Valley for 2 years, an academic leave, as it were. We had a struggling radio station. I hadn't made money in 6 years. Number 6 in the ratings, and a year later, making money, and number 1 in the market. And so, and half the people I was working with were people that I had taught at BCIT. So, to have had those experiences and know the success that radio can provide has been such a worthwhile thing for me.
And what does it mean to you, or what does it feel like to come back here and see what CJSF is now? Like, to see that we're still here and we're doing what we're doing now.
I'm such a proud papa. When the station was 20 years old and I was now at BCIT, I sent a note. No emails. This is snail mail. Sent a note and I said, hi guys, this is Dad writing. I was the guy who started the station, and it's your 20th anniversary this fall. Just thought I'd say hello, and if you have a reunion, I'd love to be part of it. Nada. Didn't hear back. About a month later, dear Dad, could we have the keys to the car for Friday night? Wonderful. And so then they did organize a reunion, and they did ask me to be part of it, and it was grand to fall of 1966. 1986, 20 years after 1966. So it was great to be part of that. I have been a rather regular visitor, just drop in and say hi, and you have no idea who I am, but this is me, and, oh, hey, that's great to, you know, shake hands and so on. I got to know Magnus a few years ago, and he asked me to come in and do this. The last time I was with somebody, oh, we were here, I'm an author, co-author of some rather hit books. And bestsellers and all. And so we were asked to be at a thing in the library last December, I think it was. And so we came in with the president and the librarian and all those good things. And so I came in early and came down here and walked in. Magnus says, hey, Brian, how are you? You know, so we talked then. So I do drop in from time to time. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely impressed and thrilled to see what the station has become all these decades later.
Well, we're coming up on another big anniversary next fall. We'll have to do a big to do.
Yeah, and the last time, I don't know, there were two or three guys. I was at a function with the Broadcast Educators Association. We were having a big conference in Vancouver on that particular weekend, and I was the lead guy on it. So we had a Saturday night big gala thing with people from schools all the way across Canada. And then we came here late. And several of the people that I had actually been involved with in the fall and spring of 66, 67 had been and left. Mm. We're old now, so we, you go home early. Anyway, it was neat to be here and see a number of people. And one of our BCIT grads was here, and I said, hey, Ross, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I went here before I went to BCIT. He was a television guy and so on, and he'd done really well at BCIT. And so it's a small community, relatively speaking, so you know a lot of people. So, if there's something happening next fall, put me down as guest number one. I'd love to be there and swap lies and so on with people over the decades.
Yeah, we'll do.
Yeah.
Waiting, anticipating, oh, the precious building. Kind of got the feeling like I've got a new lease on the life I'm leading. Where I just abandon everything I'm feeling. And as it gets darker, I don't have to see it. I can close the curtains, choose not to believe it. Everybody's laughing, we're having such a good time. Everybody's dancing, we don't read the headlines. As the world is slowly burning, I can't help this earthly yearning. Throw your hands up on my body for the chance to just feel something. Collective size of people passing by me. We all want a new start to find a new beginning. Gotta medicate to make our lives worth living. So I wipe my tears and look into the mirror, blow myself a kiss and say the end draws nearer. As the world is slowly burning, I can't help this earthly yearning. good coming.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. That was World is Burning by Yon. Before that, my conversation with co-founder of CKSF, which eventually became CJSF, Brian Antonsen. And yeah, we'll be celebrating 60 years next fall. That's crazy. Anyway, Democracy Now! Is up next. Stick around for that and all sorts of great programming all afternoon. Thursday is a real banger in terms of what we got going on, so stick around. And yeah, we're just going to leave to a little bit of Empanadas Ilegales. This is Matador.